Blog Talk Radio.
I was ready, and I frankly disagreed with you. But here we are, trying to overcome our differences. Like Beyonce says, please, please stop cheating on me.
Hey, this is the fifth incident. This kid needs to be in the icebox, not here.
Russell belongs in our care, not in prison. I assure you, we have everything under control.
Opinion!
Not getting a real under control vibe here, Marty. It is Glenn, isn't it?
Daniel.
I'll ask the questions. Let me talk to the kid. You stay here with your weird secret sex lips.
You want to die?
This kid's adorable. I don't know why I packed the hollow points.
I'll burn your balls off!
Did you just say hollow points?
Yeah. Probably should have brought a super soaker.
Hi there.
Stay back, or Justin Bieber dies.
Justin Bieber. He called you Justin Bieber.
Oh!
Hold on. Wait. Okay, let's not do whatever that is. Okay, let's just talk. It's Russell, right?
Fire fist.
Ooh, that's a great name. Where does it burn? Just the fist or all the way up to the elbow? Oh, definitely all the way up to the elbow.
Come quietly, or there will be trouble.
You stole that from RoboCop.
RoboCop, just stand down. You're embarrassing me. Look, fire fist.
I can't say it. I'm so sorry.
All right, welcome everybody to Cinema Royale. I'm Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics, and that clip you just heard is from Deadpool 2, the anticipated sequel to the highest grossing R-rated comic book movie of all time. Might be the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time. Regardless of genre, I think. It doesn't really matter. It's poised to be huge today. Estimates are that it possibly could top the opening weekend of the original. Box office should be out. If it's not out already, it should be out any minute now. And I'll catch you guys up on that as soon as I get a free moment. So we would definitely be talking about Deadpool 2. It is the biggest movie out this week. With my buddy Jeff Lyles of Lyles Movie Files, will be coming in just a second. We're also going to talk about some other things. We're going to talk about the future of Deadpool after this movie, because there's some question about what's going to happen after this. Will there be a Deadpool 3? Will it be an X-Force movie? You know, some idiot sites like Comic Book Movie are convinced that the Fox and Disney deal is already done, and then we don't know what will happen with Deadpool and the X-Men characters after that, but that deal is almost a year away from being completed, and it might not even go to Disney, so you don't know what's going to happen with that. There are a lot of questions about what happens to the future of Deadpool and the X-Men franchise. So we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll also get into there's a possible G.I. Joe spinoff with Snake Eyes. There's a couple of Star Wars spinoffs that have been talked about too. The Obi-Wan Kenobi movie seems to be gaining steam all of a sudden. And we've heard talk about a Lando Calrissian spinoff too. And I'm going to get Jeff's opinion on all of those. So I'll bring him in just one moment. But first, I want to thank everybody who has been tuning in to the show on Blog Talk Radio and through Critical, the Movie Critics Network. I appreciate that. You guys make this thing fun for me every single week. We continue to grow. I love it. I've been doing this for a couple years now. Actually, longer than that. you know, and you guys have been loyal to the show, and I really appreciate that. And I love your input, so continue to send me those emails. And while you're at it, check out all of the shows at Critical, the Movie Critics Network, Joanna Langfield and her Movie Minute, my buddy Chris Bumbray and Paul Sherry and their Beard and the Bald podcast, you know, both of them from JillBlow.com, and of course, Tim Gordon with The Film Gordon, and his broadcast of Keeping It Real with Film Gordon. Be sure to check all of those out, as well as all the other shows that we have there. All right, so let's bring in my buddy Jeff right now. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, man.
What's up, man? Hey, you man. All right, man? You awake? You good?
I'm good. How are you?
You good? Are you sure? All right, man. You sound a little low energy right there, man. I was about to call you Jeb Bush. You okay?
No, man. I was waiting for the full intro, and it just seemed like you went to dead air on me. So I was like, okay.
No. I said, what up, man? And you just kind of... that's good. How are you, man? You all right? How you doing today?
I'm good, man. You got a lot on this docket, so I'm looking forward to breaking it all down. Lots of stuff to tackle and rumors to address and all the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So, but before we get all of that stuff, let's talk about the big movie of the week, and that is Deadpool 2, the sequel to 2016's film, which was a huge hit. I think a movie that nobody expected it to be as big as it was. It took a lot of years for them to get that movie made. You and I know how long that took. There was the terrible 2009 film, X-Men Origins Wolverine, which debuted Deadpool, and it was terrible. And it was about the worst. It was the worst version of Deadpool you could possibly make. In fact, they just released a pretty
ever.
Yeah, it was the worst. They released a really funny 10-year retrospective, going through the 10 years of Deadpool, and it started off with that. And it's actually pretty complete. You know, it's a pretty complete video for mostly a gag. You know, showing all that terrible movie, the phase where it was basically dead, and it seemed like there was nothing happening, and then that leak of that test footage, which let's be honest, Ryan Reynolds leaked that shit. let's be honest about it. Ryan Reynolds leaked it, and that got people talking.
He released it.
He totally released it. And in fact, they kind of joke about it in the video that he doesn't know who did it. Of course, he did it. He did it. And that got people talking, and that got the movie made essentially. And then from there, boom, $800 million, pretty much, and like I said, highest grossing R-rated movie ever, I think. And now the sequel is here just a couple of years later. And I think the biggest thing it had to do was to follow in the footsteps of the original. And, you know, I just watched the original again last night. And I remember liking it a lot at the time. And I still liked it last night. But I realized how slow it is at times. How kind of slow it is at times, and that it really doesn't have much of a plot to it. It's like practically no plot, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm starting to see things that probably weren't so great, but it was still a lot of fun. But the sequel to me is vastly superior than the original one. I think this one has a really decent story. It continues Deadpool on this sort of hero's journey that he's on. Which is really the whole point of the character, you know, starting off bad and kind of trying to become a better person. And I absolutely adore the introduction of X-Force, even though some of my favorite characters got treated like crap in their introduction. I really did enjoy the way they handled that team. But before I go too deep into what I thought, what were your reactions to Deadpool 2?
I love the first one. It was such a great surprise. And hearing the echo was weird. But it was really good. I felt like this was an X-Men film that actually treated the character the right way. They got Deadpool, the comic book character, and brought him successfully to the movies. This one wasn't as much of a surprise because I was like, okay, all they have to do is just do what they did before. I have to watch the second one again. I'm not quite sure which one I like more. I like that there's an actual debate, because it's not like, oh gosh, one was terrible and the other was trash. But this one was good. It was really funny. Like, it was really funny. And I think for sure it has the best end credit of any comic book movie. And
I think it has
for
the best
end credit
of any movie, period.
Oh yeah.
I don't think there's ever been an end credit sequence better than that one. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it made the entire movie worth watching again. Just watch that again. But that was great. Ryan Reynolds is, you know, it's like that Robert Downey thing where it's like, this is your role. This is the one that you were born to do, and you're just killing it. So he makes everything so good in that. There are a few moments, a few scenes where I felt like they were trying a little too hard to be edgy and funny. But for the most part, it worked. And, you know, it's one of those cases where that's how Deadpool the comic book is. So I can't really knock it for being that faithful to the source material. So really enjoyed it. I thought Josh Brolin was awesome as Cable. X-Force was really fun. And I thought in a lot of ways it was a really great lead-in to X-Force. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with that next.
Yeah, and you know, and I was surprised by how emotional it was at times. I think that's one thing that the movie was definitely missing. I talked about how it doesn't really have much of a plot to it, but it's lacking heart, basically. The first movie, it doesn't have much. It doesn't really offer up much because it's such a streamlined story. This one broadens things out a little bit, and it has time to do that. It has time to give Deadpool a serious motivation to try and evolve, you know, and so it has some really emotional and touching moments. So it's surprisingly for a movie that is as machine gun jokey as this one is, the jokes just come flying at you over and over again, even at a faster clip than in the first movie. You almost have to see it again in order to catch everything. I'm sure there's stuff I missed at the screening we were at. I'm certain there was, and I'm going to go see it again. Yeah, and I'm going to go see it again today, this afternoon at the IMAX. So I'm hoping to catch on to some of those. But yeah, they did this movie. They didn't just mimic what they did in the first one. They very easily could have. And they would have been perfectly fine, and everybody would have gone to it and been happy. But they didn't do that. They actually tried to expand it and, you know, introduce a bunch more characters, not just Cable, and you know, but more members of the X-Men team. There's a really funny joke about the X-Men and their whereabouts in this movie. I think that was the biggest laugh I had, actually, in the entire movie.
The end credits I was thinking about it
yesterday while I was watching the first one, when, you know, when they tell that joke about it's almost like the studio can't afford any more X-Men.
Right.
And I almost wanted to spoil the joke of the sequel, but I was like, I'm just going to keep quiet in case these people never watch the sequel. But it was such a great moment and so brilliant. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Deadpool that, like, you know, there's all the fourth wall breaking and stuff that he does, and sometimes that can get a bit excessive. But when it's done right, like when he says something that literally every one of us is thinking at that moment, that's when it's perfect.
It really was.
It is perfect whenever that happens. So this version of X-Force that is in the movie, and I'm not going to go too far into detail about them and what their whole storyline ends up being in the film, is very different from the ones we see in the comics. What did you think about the whole Cable versus Deadpool versus Domino dynamic that's kind of going on in the movie? Because it is different than the comics.
Very different. This was, I think I had like a couple of problems. The first is a super spoiler from earlier, so I won't mention that. But the Cable-Deadpool dynamic was weird because it was set up from something that probably didn't need to lead to this big. So it was weird how they were fighting, but not really fighting. And, you know, it was like, whatever, I'm going with it because it's Cable and it's Deadpool fighting each other. But I thought that they could have come up with a stronger argument for why they're fighting or reason. And I thought Domino really played in well because she's like this wild card in the comic and she was a super cool character in this one. And I just love the way she was so nonchalant about everything and just matter of fact, like, ah, we'll take care of it. I'll deal with this. Don't worry about it. I loved how she played off of both of their two extreme personalities.
Yeah, no, it's actually a really good point. What did you think of Julian Dennison as Firefist? I'm a big fan of Julian Dennison from Hunt for the Wilder People. It's a great movie, and he's funny in it. He's kind of playing, I think, the same character except with superpowers. But what did you think about his character? Because Firefist is an actual character in the Marvel Universe. People don't know that, but he is an actual character in the Marvel Universe.
The same guy as Rusty Collins?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't, you know, Rusty's had some different aliases. I remember
him. Yeah, he had a bunch of aliases, and that was his worst one. Okay. He was better off when he was just called Rusty.
Right.
And of course, now he's dead, so it doesn't really matter. But they chose so many obscure characters to this movie. You know, and like the guy, like Zeitgeist, you know, from like one episode, one issue of X-Force. And it was like the Peter Milligan X-Force, you know?
Right. I had to go back because I was like, I'm pretty sure this guy's a member of X-Force, right? And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird how far they went back in with some of these characters.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, who? You have to be. I mean, I don't know Rhett Reese and Paul Warnick, the writers, but they must be serious Marvel heads to find these characters to use. I mean, because nobody would use Rusty Collins. No one would use Zeitgeist for anything. It's like, why are they here? But
it's funny because I feel like the way they set it up, they really could have done that Zeitgeist version of X-Force. And I guess to some degree they kind of do. Without spoiling anything, but yeah, it was really interesting how far they went. It just like, all right, we'll pick this guy, and this guy. It's such a random collection of X figures.
Yeah, Terry Crews is who's he? Bedlam? Isn't he Bedlam? I think he's Bedlam. Yeah. I mean, that's another not exactly the one of the first X Force members you'd think of using ever. You know, it's like
he's perfectly fine in this version.
He's perfectly fine. Yeah. He's much cooler, you know, for the amount of time he has in this movie than he is in the comics. You know? So, although, to be honest, the Bedlam stuck around for a while in the comics. But, but still, they weren't memorable members of X-Force. When you think of X-Force, you don't think of Bedlam. Think of him as an X-Force member at all. You know what I mean? So, But all right, so I think we both are on the same page here about Deadpool 2. I guess the question I would have is, do you think it's better than the original? Do you think? And I know you're kind of, you know, mulling that over.
Right. I think the highs of this one are better than the highs of the first film. But I think I think it tries so hard sometimes to get in the first one that it kind of loses some of that. But I mean, you know, that's a film where it's like, it's just one where it works so well and the parts that do connect enough that I'm willing to ignore most of the problems. Like I said, there's a super spoiler early on that I feel like they could have written something else to not just do the traditional thing in these kind of sequels. But beyond that, I really liked it. And like I said, I'm looking forward to the next one. So for me, as long as I'm looking for the next film, whether that's the Deadpool 3 or X-Force, I'm happy. And not feeling like, why are they still making these films? Like X-Men and Apocalypse.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Deadpool, what's coming next, what might come next for it. And we'll also get into some of those spinoffs that I was mentioning earlier. So let's take a break. And let's play appropriate music for the film that is probably about to kick major butt at the box office. Hey. From from Junior Mafia and Biggie Smalls, of course. All right, so my buddy Jeff Lyles is with me from Lyles Movie Files. How are things going over there at Lyles Movie Files anyway, Jeff?
Oh, man, doing pretty good. I'm very excited. The end of the major superhero TV season is just about done.
Yeah.
Flash is season finale's this Tuesday, and Supergirl's just kind of picking up from its mid-season break. So I'm almost done with all the TV recaps, which is great. I can take a little break, watch a lot more movies.
Was this week's Arrow's finale?
Yeah, Arrow had its season finale earlier than Flash for some reason.
All right,
yeah.
Cool. So I know I watched it, but I wasn't sure if that was the end or not. It seemed like it was.
Right.
I wasn't sure.
I'm
mostly caught up, too, which is rare for me. I'm actually mostly caught up on everything. So I guess I got Supergirl and Flash to watch next. I guess this upcoming week is their finales.
No, Supergirl took a break when they switched out with Legends of Tomorrow. So Supergirl has more episodes. So it's And I'm super behind on S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham. So I'm going through and writing those recaps. But yeah.
About 20 episodes on S.H.I.E.L.D. So I'm not gonna. They're still in outer space for mine. So I'm way behind on that. And I don't know if I'll ever
catch
up.
That's probably the weakest part of the season. So
really,
I
actually heard that storyline is pretty good. And the couple episodes I've watched have actually been okay. But I'm not as down on that show as a lot of other people were. I didn't like the season before this, where they were in
the
mainframe or whatever. I think that's what it was.
Framework. Yeah, I love that season.
Yeah, it didn't really do much for me. And I kind of lost track of it, and I tried to pick it up again for this season, and I've just been too busy, and I just haven't caught up, so I'm way behind on that. But in terms of the CW shows, except for Black Lightning, which I've still not watched a single episode of. I know, but I just haven't done it.
Really, yeah, because, you know, watching so many as they continue to expand this universe, they're falling into the same formula of every show. And Black Lightning is the one that's kind of straying the farthest from that formula. So going forward, that's the one I'm going to be looking forward to the most, because I just can't deal with everybody being a superhero on this single character show and then having a tech guy who's a genius. And yeah, it's really repetitive watching from week to week, every show doing the same thing and same dumb things just to keep one villain going for 22 episodes. This is awesome.
I kind of feel like they need to just go ahead and make him part of the Arrowverse now. Can he stop fronting? Can he stop faking?
You know, the things that they do in Black Lightning probably would not work in the Arrowverse, because Black Lightning is actually cool, and they don't really have a lot of cool black guys in the Arrowverse. It just doesn't work with them.
Let's be honest. There's not one thing they can do. They've done in Black Lightning that can't be somehow made to work in the Arrowverse, considering everything that's happened in the Arrowverse. I don't buy that for a second.
Well, they could make that. They could throw him in there real quick. It's just,
I think they
do that style tone clash.
They just say stuff like that because, you know, I was like, oh, we want them to think that it's going to be kind of, you know, it's not going to be, you know, you don't have to watch everything in order to watch it. I know that's why they say that, you know, but come on. Just put him in the freaking Arrowverse already. Or do like they do with Supergirl. She's not in the same universe exactly. She's in an alternate dimension, right?
She's in a different Earth, but anytime they need a musical episode or somebody to do something, hey, Supergirl will cross
over
the portal. It's a real small loophole.
It seems like Black Lightning could be in the on the same Earth as Arrow in the Flash.
He could. There's no reason for him not to be. He could have just been on the West Coast where everybody's on the East Coast. They needed to make it more difficult than they needed it to be.
And now they're going to introduce Gotham City and Batwoman next season, which is, you know, the Batwoman thing I don't really care about. It's the Gotham City thing that I'm interested in. Because that opens up both the possibilities.
they slowly started hinting, like, I remember a few episodes of even last season where they threw out Oracle and, like, oh, that nickname's already taken. So they've been making some very...
Wayne Tech in there before, you know? So, I mean, it's not as if we didn't know Bruce Wayne existed. We know he does.
Right. He probably would not be able to be as cool as Arrow if he showed up ever. I mean, they have Huntress around. They pretty much made Arrow Batman anyway, so.
Right, exactly. They don't need to put Batman in the show. But having Gotham means you can have, you know, more bat villains, or maybe somebody like a Nightwing or whoever, you know, maybe an Azrael. You know, I mean, there's a ton of different characters they could use if they're going to introduce, if they're going to make Gotham an actual part of this world, you know, and not just something they mention offhand. There's a lot they can do. That to me is interesting. I find that more interesting than Gotham, which I was never able to really stomach for very long, and or this Alfred show that they're making now, which sounds terrible.
It really does. It's like how when the CW announced after Smallville was ending, hey, we're going to have this Arrow show, and it's like, we just watched Arrow for like 5 seasons on Smallville. Why do we need a spinoff show of Arrow? And then we had Gotham featuring young Alfred and young Bruce Wayne. Why do we need a younger Alfred Pennyworth show? I mean, it's like, that is the most fringe comic book show I think they've ever come up with. Well, that and Krypton, which I still haven't managed to come up with any interest in watching yet.
I watched like the first 3 episodes, and I tweeted. I was like, you know, I've watched it. I don't know what's going on anymore, and I don't know if it's really even any good. I can't tell. It's just a show that I watch, and then when I watch it, I've like already forgotten about it, and so I just quietly took it off my DVR, and I'm not going to keep watching it. I'm done with it. But then they're doing this other show called Metropolis, and I feel like I don't need all these satellite shows around like a specific character. Like, I don't need like all these Superman-ish shows. Like, that's enough. Like, again, I mean, come on, man. Exactly. If you're not going to do a Superman show, then just stop it. You know, I don't need it. They don't need to do this. They don't need to do it with Batman. They don't need to do it with Superman. And you know, next is Wonder Woman. There will be an Amazon show, a show that takes place on Amazon. You know what's going to happen.
Were you watching Legends of Tomorrow?
No, it's the one show from the CW I've never been able to get into.
Okay, well, they actually made a character from Themyscira show up in the season finale, and it was like, yeah, I see what you guys are trying to do, and slowly work that in. But, yeah, it's weird. It's like they want to focus on all these little fringe versions of their characters, where people just want their characters interacting with everybody. Like, I don't know why Superman still hasn't shown up in the big CW crossovers or anything like that. And I guess Batwoman's supposed to show up in the crossover. So maybe Gotham's going to be the base of operations or where everything's going down with this. But I can't think who's big enough to warrant the Arrowverse showing up in Gotham.
Yeah, maybe one of those various rogue groups. What was the Circle of Ravens or whatever groups those guys were? Whoever.
Court
I don't
of
know.
Owls.
Court of Owls, thank you.
I think you need to watch Gotham. I know you said you couldn't stomach Gotham for a while, but it really gets interesting. And as long as you watch it with this is so far away from everything Batman. This is just its own universe of Batman, taking all the greatest hits and putting them in a blender. Here's our Batman show. It's really fun. And they start working on
that.
I was a fan of
the guy who played the Penguin. I really did like him. And he's super nice in person, too. Another reason why.
Robin Lord Taylor.
He's super nice in person, so that's one reason why I kind of liked him too. But it's just, you know, I it's not even that I thought it was bad. I just kind of was like, you know, like I said before, I don't like these satellite versions of characters. You know, I don't really feel like watching them. They don't do anything for me. Like what's for me, it's like, this isn't the origin of Batman, no matter what this show tries to say. So it's like, I started asking myself, what's the point? it's like when I was watching Krypton, and I was like, do I really want to know all the politics that was going on Krypton decades
right.
before man was ever born? What's the point?
The place
blows up anyway. Who cares?
Yeah. That's all Krypton
up.
Is.
Right. The place blows up. And that's the only thing that matters about it is that it blew up. Mm-hmm. So why do I care about all this stuff? And then they try to make all these, you know, they bring in characters from the future who can then talk about Superman. And it's like, now you're just straining for credibility. You're straining
right.
for you're straining to be relevant when you start doing stuff like that. So it's like, mm-hmm. You know, and that's the way I kind of feel about all of these things. So I think I might try and watch Gotham in this final season because it seems like it's going to be focused on Bruce Wayne becoming Batman. And I kind of want to see how they do it.
If you watch this, well, whenever you get around to it, this season has done a lot of groundwork for setting him up as Batman. Like, he's been running around in a proto suit, and he's dealt with Ra's al Ghul, got some training, and starting to learn little tricks that will become more important as he becomes Batman. So they've done a really good job, even though, you know, the age, he's not like in his late 20s, early 30s. Everything else is kind of connecting at this point. Like, the villains are starting to become more of their characters. They've even thrown in Solomon Grundy and Poison Ivy. So it's just, it's a lot of fun. It's if you are a comic nerd, there it has to be like, this comes before this and this comes after this. Gotham is going to be the worst show. But if you can just go along with whatever they're throwing out there at the time, it's a lot of fun.
All right. Let's veer off course here from the. We already have kind of veered off course. Let's veer back on course and let's talk about Deadpool a little bit more. Let's talk about what's going on with the movie. Now, what we've heard is from Ryan Reynolds, he's been teasing a little bit that there may not be a traditional Deadpool 3, that it may jump straight into an X-Force movie, which I think he's saying that, and I don't necessarily think it's true. Because I think if you're Fox, the Deadpool name is what sells. I don't think X-Force sells as much. And I see if anything they would do two movies rather than just skipping Deadpool 3 and going on to X-Force. But what are your thoughts about that? How do you think they're going to approach it? Because there's going to be more Deadpool one way or another, even if some deal goes through where Fox sells to Comcast or Disney, there will be more Deadpool in some way, shape, or form. But what do you think is their best course of action, and what do you think they'll actually do?
I think they will probably go with an X-Force film and then go back and then go to Deadpool 3, just because it makes more sense to me, because they spent so much of Deadpool 2 introducing and setting up the characters who are going to be in X-Force. And I don't think they need another Deadpool to get that going. I feel like Deadpool 3 is money in the bank for them, but X-Force, if they can kind of expand that property a little bit more, like make Deadpool the Iron Man of their X-Men universe, by however long they've got it, then he can keep, you know, if with Deadpool there, because I guess the problem is if you have a Deadpool 3 and for some reason it tanks and then you go to X-Force, it's like, it's too late, guys. That window closed for making a really good X-Force movie. But with the lore of seeing Deadpool by himself, you know, you enjoyed him in X-Force. Now let's go to Deadpool by himself again. And I think that leaves more storytelling potential for them. Like, why did we do X-Force? And I don't know. Yeah. That's my thought.
And I guess there's always something to be gained from introducing a successful new team movie. And the X-Men franchise outside of Deadpool is kind of in flux at the moment. I mean, you have X-Men Dark Phoenix coming up, and that's had its share of issues in production. We don't know how that's going to work either, because you know, there's so many of the main characters aren't there anymore. I mean, I know there's some of them are coming back, but it feels you're coming off the heels of X-Men Apocalypse, which people didn't like, and it underperformed badly at the box office. So you're trying to do this new movie with Simon Kinberg making his directorial debut, and you just don't know how that movie's going to work, you know? They're also going cosmic for the first time with that franchise too, which is another thing that is not guaranteed to be successful. So you don't know where that's going to go. And then you got New Mutants, which has had even worse problems in production than X-Men Dark Phoenix. And it's a horror movie, which is, you know, and we don't know how superhero horror movies are going to work because there haven't really been any. So don't know how that's going to appeal to audiences. So I guess, I mean, I think I agree with you that probably the smartest course would be to do an X-Force movie first and maybe establish them as maybe the new central X team to follow, you know, rather than the X-Men, and establish them and then go from there. I mean, if they do an X-Force movie, I hope they fill its roster with some more recognizable X-Force faces. Can I, Boom Boom. Can I get Boom Boom in there? You can even call her Meltdown and I'll be okay. You know, I'd be fine with that. Or, you know, give me, I would take Feral. You know, I would be happy with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say Warpath, but we've already seen Warpath in the movies before.
Which one was he in?
He's in Days of Future Past.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I do like that one. Anybody who showed up in Last Stand has full carte blanche to appear in another movie. That did not exist.
Well, those events don't exist anymore, remember?
That was the smartest thing they've ever done.
Yeah. It's smart, even though I don't like how much that is being done lately. Because, you know, they weren't the only ones to do it. Like, Star Trek did it with their first movie. They kind of wiped out a lot of things continuity-wise. I don't necessarily like that practice of retconning, because I hate retconning in comics. Retconning in comics pisses me off. It makes me mad. I always feel like if you can't deal with something as it happened, then, you know, you shouldn't have fucking wrote it, or you're a terrible writer. You know, right. If you can't deal with something as it is,
it's either one of the two. It's like, hey, yeah, or retroactively change something that for decades was not the case.
Yeah, and ironically, the character who's probably suffered the most from retconning in comics is Cable. Cable has had more retconning done on him than almost any character in history. That's because his backstory is so unnecessarily messy that they would just rather retcon it away than try to explain it. You know, and I get that, but I also feel like it's lazy. And I feel like it's lazy in movies too. So whatever. But there will be more Deadpool. That much is for certain. Looking at the box office here for Deadpool, $53 million on opening day, which is incredible. I'm not so sure that's a record. It might be. I'm not sure if that's a record or not, but $53 million on opening day pretty much sets it on
a
path. It's a record?
It was a record.
Oh, yeah. It is a record. Yep, you're right. I'm looking at it now. It is a record. $53 million opening day. That is amazing. And I'm seeing estimates of maybe $125 million.
It's interesting because that was, I guess that's just the whole Infinity War thing. Mm-hmm. It's just enough to stop it from beating its previous record, which, you know, based off everything else, it seemed like it was doing fine. But going against those Marvel juggernauts or Marvel Studio juggernauts does not help anybody.
Yeah, it looks like it is $125 million for the weekend.
Solo is really going to have an interesting run next week.
It's so busy this month, man. I still consider Infinity War to be a May release just because it came out so late in April. But you're talking about three gigantic movies in less than a month's time. And this is the biggest issue that Hollywood has to face right now in terms of distribution, is that these companies can't get out of each other's way. In some cases, like in the case of Disney, they can't get out of their own way. I mean, right. They have so many movies coming out that they're eating off themselves. They're feeding off themselves. And then for others like Fox or some of these other places, it's hell trying to find a 2-week gap where you're not going up against some other Disney juggernaut, you know? And it's like, what are you supposed to do?
Run. It's weird because I feel like they didn't have, they only had Mary Poppins in December. I thought Solo would have worked just fine then.
Yep. So Deadpool 2, $125 million, which puts it second opening weekend amongst R-rated movies, second of all time, behind Deadpool, which had $132 million, and It, which had $123 million. So a very good opening for Deadpool 2. It's, I'm curious to see if it matches the final tally of the original. We'll see.
I'm also very curious if Fox is happy about this. So if they're like, darn it, we should have waited a couple more weeks until after Infinity War.
Yeah. But you know what, though? I don't know if that's the case in this time, because Deadpool 2 really fed off the energy of Infinity War in a significant way. Having Josh Brolin in both movies gave them a platform for some really great promos.
Yeah,
and I actually think that its proximity to Infinity War has helped it. I actually don't think that's hurt. It's hurt it the way it would hurt some other movies, you know. So I actually think it's been a good thing for them. I'm like I said, like you said, I'm more concerned about what's going to happen with Solo, which, you know, I think we both can say we saw it, and we can actually say I can say that I liked it. I'm not going to do my review of that until next week, but we are free to talk about it. And I liked it. It's a movie that deserves to do well. I don't know how that's going to do against the remaining competition of Infinity War and Deadpool 2, though. People might hedge their bets on those movies rather than on a spinoff like Solo. Which... So, I don't know. But anyway, all right, so let's transition over, since we already brought up Solo. Let's talk about a couple of spinoff things that have been going on lately. The first one that I thought was really interesting was Kathleen Kennedy talking about a Lando Calrissian spinoff with Donald Glover's character, and that it was next, quote-unquote, which I don't think is necessarily true, but I think she was saying that to kind of bolster people's interest in Solo a little bit more by saying, hey, we're going to spin off Donald Glover's character. Oh, by the way, Donald Glover's red hot right now. You ever seen This Is America?
See him now on Solo.
But she's talking about a Lando Calrissian movie. I hope it delves into him being pansexual, which is the new revelation about Lando this week, is that he's pansexual. What do you think about the idea of a Lando movie? Because when I think of a Lando film, pansexual or not, I think that's another one of those movies where every black person you know is going to go see a Lando movie. Just like every black person Absolutely. You know went to go see Black Panther, even though they didn't know shit about Black Panther ever. They went to see it anyway because it became a cultural event. I can see that also happening with Lando.
Yeah, Donald Glover was so great as Lando.
So good.
That I think so people were kind of like, I'm not really into Star Wars. I think they'd go see it for him. I mean, he's like in everything right now anyway. And if you put him front and center, because, you know, for as much as they want to tout the increased efforts at diversity in the Star Wars universe, it's still kind of steered and led by white male heroes. So now if you make Lando Calrissian, the dude's not even in the sequel trilogy. And I know for me and a lot of other people, they're like, well, where's Lando? He's not part of the big three of the original trilogy, but I mean, he's part of that other tier with Chewie and the droids. So it's like, where is he? Mm-hmm. And I think people just like Lando. He's a cool guy. And for me and people age, he was like one of the few black heroes. Yeah, he was like one of the few black heroes, and he didn't get killed and stayed around, and he had a lot more of his personality. So seeing a movie with him kind of being a scoundrel, and Lando can do anything. I mean, it's so wide open for him. I mean, we know he's eventually got to get to Cloud City, but everything else before then is up for grabs. And they literally can expand that universe to so many different realms. It'd be a lot of fun.
I actually find Lando to be a far more interesting character than Han Solo, and it's not because, you know, he's the black guy. I mean, of course, I identified with him as a kid because he was the black guy, you know, in Star Wars. But his character is so much more interesting to me because we know what happens to Han. You know, he goes through the traditional route, start off, you know, kind of not really a villain, but you know, selfish, and then he becomes, you know. Somebody who looks out for others. He joins the rebellion. Lando, his path isn't so straightforward. You know, he's a rogue like Han. He's a gambler. He's a smuggler. We know he also looks out for himself, probably double crosses more than his share of people on both sides, whether good or bad. But he also becomes this administrator of Cloud City, which is like, how the hell you manage to do that? You know, how you get to that point, you know, and then he evolves.
How did he con out for this joint?
Right. Yeah. And then it's like, and then he evolves again and becomes this like a major general within the rebellion. So, I mean, so he goes through a lot more twists and turns than almost any character in Star Wars. And yet we've seen so little of him and we still know all that stuff about him.
I think his
role in Solo kind of fleshes that out a little bit. We see another piece of it, and it just makes me want to see more. The pansexual thing I think also plays a role in Solo without giving anything away, but that does seem to be a factor in the movie. I mean, there's just so much to that character that I would be excited to explore. And like I said, I think it would be. I don't think black people will come to the movies dressed in. Well, they probably will. They'll come to the theater dressed in capes. Love capes.
Come on, man! That capes are killer. I mean, how can you imagine the merchandise on Star Wars capes?
I imagine the way dashiki sales skyrocketed during Black Panther. I imagine there would be cape sales would go through the roof. They will make a comeback. You'll start seeing Bamas at clubs with capes on. Like Lando.
Hold my cape, baby. And
exactly. Can I check your coat, sir? Nah, you can check my cape though. You know, that's
nah, you take new tape for me. I don't want to see me folding that, all right?
don't let it touch the ground, yo.
Right.
Don't want to get dust on it. I mean, oh my God.
What is your salary?
The other spinoff that has been talked about for a long time and actually does seem like it's going to be next is the Obi-Wan Kenobi spinoff. And I'll be honest with you, I have no interest in an Obi-Wan Kenobi spinoff. A lot of characters in Star Wars, I don't have any interest in seeing movies about them. I don't want to see a Yoda movie. That's been rumored to in the past. I don't even really want to see a Boba Fett movie, to be honest, because I feel like he's one of those characters that I just don't want to know that much about his past. Like, leave him alone.
Right.
Like, I used to feel that way about Wolverine. You know, I was like, stop telling me everything. Now I know everything about Wolverine. He's not interesting to me anymore. And I feel like they want to do that with Boba Fett too, like ruin him. It's like let's reveal everything about Boba Fett. So I don't read those. I never read those Boba Fett books. They used to come out all the time. I was like, I wouldn't read them. I don't want to read them. But Obi-Wan is another character I don't necessarily think we need to see more about. But that does seem like it's the movie that may happen. Stephen Daldry is the guy who is apparently going to be directing it. He's been rumored for a long time. And I would assume it would bring back Ewan McGregor, although that has not been confirmed. We don't know what the time period of the movie would be. So, I mean, well, the rumor is that it would
be after.
Yeah. Right, that's the rumor. But I don't put a lot of stock in that rumor. It seems really sketchy, and the plot synopsis that came with it was super sketchy. So I'm not putting a lot of faith in it. I'm kind of going off earlier rumors before that seemed to have a little bit more a little bit more substance to them. But the latest rumor, which the one I said I don't really put any faith in, is the one that's it would have Obi-Wan on Tatooine watching over a young Luke until tensions rise between local farmers and a tribe of sand people and a warlord that brings Obi-Wan out of hiding. And my response to that was, I hope that's just act one and not like the whole thing. That sounds like the first 10 minutes of the movie and not like the plot of the movie. That shit sucks. I don't put any faith in that rumor to be true. Plus, it's coming from TMZ. And as much as I like TMZ, I don't trust them when it comes to breaking news about movie plots. So, but what are your thoughts on a Obi-Wan movie? Is that something you would want to see, really?
All right. So it's funny that you mentioned that. Last night, I was just clearing the DVR of DW shows, and Revenge of the Sith was wrapping up. So it's like that tail end moment where Obi-Wan's watching young Luke go off to with Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, and it's like, man, I really want to see Ewan McGregor in another movie in this universe, because I thought he was so great in prequels. And I don't know how they can make a cool movie in between Sith and A New Hope, but I am so down for seeing him as Obi-Wan again. I don't even know what that, you know, how they make it work, but I want to see him in another movie. That plot you described does not sound amazing and awesome, but he was so good that I think he could take some mediocre stuff and make it work. Maybe he bumps into Solo early on or something. I don't know. Well, you know what? He actually has to meet Chewbacca, right? I guess he just meets him at the cantina. So, I mean, there's all kinds of ways that he can interact with these guys. Maybe he bumps into Lando. There's no reason that they can't connect earlier.
If there was an Obi-Wan movie, I'd want to know why he doesn't seem to remember anything in A New Hope. Like, he doesn't seem to remember much of anything at all. He doesn't remember his own droids, you know. If there was a movie that could possibly explain that somehow, then or at least, you know, confirm to us that he was just lying and being a douche in A New Hope, then maybe I would be okay with it. And I agree with you that Ewan McGregor is really good as Obi-Wan, and I wouldn't mind seeing him again, but I'm content just having him voice Obi-Wan in, like, cartoons. Which is what he's been doing. I'm content with that.
That's all he needs.
I don't need his
or why he refers to Darth Vader as Darth and not Vader.
Right. Yes. That too. And I kind of want to see him, like, have some remorse for cutting his best friend's legs off. The way he did.
And the arms.
He's a douche about that, too, because later on he's talking about Anakin, like he didn't, like, really know what happened to him. Like, I don't know how he became Darth Vader. Yeah, you do.
Hey, man, that was 30 years ago.
Like, you know exactly what happened.
That was 19 years ago. You know, then he starts to paint a different picture when you start thinking back on stuff.
I know. Like, he's probably got it in his head that he ain't really do nothing. It's like, you cut him up and left him by a lava flow. That's what happened. That's what happened.
Why
that's, why he's,
mad at me.
That's why he's mad.
Tell him why he's mad, son.
Yeah. So maybe they do a comedy version where people are just laughing at him for all the lies he's told. Then that would be a good movie. and the other spinoff which really has my attention is G.I. Joe spinoff with Snake Eyes, because I love Snake Eyes. And I think everybody who's a G.I. Joe fan loves Snake Eyes. I don't know anybody that didn't like Snake Eyes. When I was a kid, Snake Eyes was my favorite G.I. Joe who wasn't a Cobra character, because I, you know, like bad guys, so I always like the Cobra characters. But the only one that wasn't a Cobra character that I really loved was Snake Eyes. Oh, that and Refrigerator Perry's character in Star of the Slaughter. I like those people, but for different reasons. But Snake Eyes is just an awesome character, and it looks like rather than doing the G.I. Joe 3 that they're planning on doing in 2020, they're going to do a Snake Eyes spinoff. I mean, you don't have really a whole lot of information on it yet. Don't know if Ray Park will come back in a role. I kind of hope he does, because he was really good at it. I mean, he's good at physical stuff. It's not as if he had to say anything. But he's good at physical stuff. And I assume, you know, he'll be going up against Storm Shadow again, because that's, you know, that's what Snake Eyes does. He goes up against Storm Shadow, or he becomes friends with Storm Shadow, and then Storm Shadow betrays him, and then they're enemies again, and then they become friends again. That's what they do. What are your thoughts about this? Would you rather see a regular G.I. Joe movie, or are you cool with there being a Snake Eyes film? And do you even like Snake Eyes? You might not even give a shit about Snake Eyes.
Nah, man, not, no. So, you know, back in the days when you couldn't buy everything, or I couldn't buy everything I wanted, when I saw the Joes on the pegs and actually on Toys R Us in their aisles for the very first time, I was like, oh, wow. And I went for everybody that looked different. So I got Snake Eyes, Flash, Stalker, and Scarlet.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't the same green like everybody else. But I love Snake Eyes came up with all these different stories or whatever. And in the comic book that Larry Hammer wrote, Snake Eyes is like probably the featured character. And he is probably my favorite character alongside Flint, who I just love because Flint was just cool. And both the cartoon and comic book. Yeah. And so I would be down for a Snake Eyes movie. I would also be down for a good G.I. Joe movie. So whichever one they decide to do. Maybe Snake Eyes works, but I think if they do it, they should go like from an old school original Joe team perspective and show him before he's in the mask and before the accident, and show that and show how he ends up like a mute and his ninja training. Because I think that origin of G.I. Joe, or origin of Snake Eyes that you see in G.I. Joe issue 26 and 27 would make for a great movie. And they can show the old Joes like Rock and Roll and Grunt and all those guys, you know, the ones that we haven't seen in the film so far.
Yep.
And just make that, you know, I don't have a lot of interest in just watching Snake Eyes by himself, not talking, and for a whole 2 hours. But showing how it gets to that point could be a really good movie.
You know why I'd be interested in seeing a Snake Eyes movie, you know, kind of separate from the Joes? When was the last really good American ninja movie that we've had? I mean, the last one that I can remember was Ninja Assassin, directed by James McTeague.
Yeah.
And that was not that good of a movie. But there, we don't get very many even attempts at it anymore. I would really like to see a straight-up American-style ninja movie again, just because we don't do it. And to do it with a character like Snake Eyes could be cool.
It could. I think the problem is the G.I. Joe license is such a no-brainer, easy-to-make-work license, and they have dropped the ball twice. Then it would seem like, oh, how could you mess up making a Snake Eyes movie? Well, just watch G.I. Joe Retaliation and Rise of Cobra. So I really want to say, yeah, they could make it work, but they watched the Transformers. I'm just like, eh. I wish I could have faith in them, but I don't at all.
Yeah. All right. We are coming towards the end of the show. It is almost noon. Jeff Lyles, this has been fantastic, my friend. Thank you for coming on here to talk Deadpool 2. We got to talk about a whole bunch of other stuff. Talked about the CW, talked about Solo, talked about Star Wars spinoffs. We got a lot of stuff covered today, man, and I really appreciate you coming on here. We'll do this again soon for whatever the next big thing is. Maybe. But thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Definitely. Anytime, all right, man. It's always fun.
All right. Thanks, man. Everybody go check out Lyle's Movie Files whenever you get a chance. He does a lot of good stuff over there. And you know me, I don't say that about too many people. All right, so we're wrapping up the show now. Where's my closing music? It's not going to come on. It doesn't really matter. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics. You can find me every day at punchdrunkcritics.com. You can find me every week on News Channel 8 middays on Fridays, and on WBAL Morning News on Thursdays, and of course on WETA Around Town if you live here in DC. All right, thanks everybody for tuning in to Cinema Royale. I will see you.
And evangelical growth is not going to mean what it means now. Frank Schaefer, always appreciate you coming in and explaining this to us. Have a wonderful day, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, Jordan.
Funny how we never listened to your dad when we were a teenager. My dad, he always came to me with a lot of us. One was always in trouble. And the second was always do the right thing. Now that I'm the new CEO of Uber, I'm taking that across the heart and I'm using that across the entire company. Moving forward, we're taking into consideration what's good for carbon partners, our riders, and the cities that we operate in. And it's going to make us much, much better. This is not just the art. It's where memories are made. And you have an investment in the past. John Lee actually put these slides here. So he's using more control.
Dexcom
G5 multi-digital glucose monitoring system. A small wearable sensor measures your glucose every 5 minutes and senses the age of the Dexcom machine. Dexcom helps lower A1C and improves quality of life. If you're over 65 and have diabetes, you should have Dexcom.
If you get a Dexcom, you can be very blessed. Visit DexcomNow.com to learn more.
With Expedia, you can book a flight, hotel, car, and activity all in one place. Everything you need to go. Expedia.
When other signs just can't satisfy you, we've got to have some comfort. Introducing Blender Farmers. I'm letting Crunch inside of Flavorful Crunch.
Here with reaction. Plus, the following narrative is a question for me. The one thing I need to
24/7. The world's most expensive witch hunt has found nothing on Russia and me, and so now they're looking at the rest of the world. Two Democratic lawmakers in charge of the Russia investigation on Capitol Hill, they're weighing in on that New York Times report today. Here comes Congressman Adam Schiff and Senator Mark Warner.
This is a factor of accuracy. This demonstrates yet again just how not only willing but eager the president's comments on the country were to solicit to receive the foreign help.
If the time story is true, we now have at least a second and maybe a third nation that was trying to move into the past. And I don't understand what the president said about the war. If you have a foreign nation down here in an American election, that's illegal.
Meanwhile, a new report on ramped up efforts by Trump's allies to pressure the Justice Department into revealing the identity of an FBI informant used in the early days of the Russian investigation. Rudy Giuliani telling the Wall Street Journal that the president should not agree to sit down with Mueller unless investigators give us details on that informant. NBC White House correspondent Kelly O'Donnell signing out from the White House. Kelly, with a good Sunday.
Yes.
So the president fired off what was a half a dozen or so this morning. He has certainly been busy on Twitter and trying to make some political arguments that may resonate with his base at a time when certainly a media strategy to put pressure on the special counsel probe. And if that can't work because the counsel, of course, continue independently until it reaches its conclusion, the president is certainly trying to influence how people view what's been happening. So of the tweets today, let me just point out two of them that give me a sense of the electoral relationship. In one where he talks about the witch hunt, as you described it, giving up on Russia, looking at the rest of the world, he suggests they could easily be able to take it into the midterm elections where they can put some perks on the Republican Party. Don't worry about it, these are his allegations against the Democratic side. And by the use of Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that's the reference to phishing email for a fraudulent dossier. They need a lot of background knowledge on this subject to understand some of what he's getting at, but the key thing in that is talking about the midterm races and how this investigation, whether it's on Russia, collusion or investigation more broadly, is something the president recognizes will be a part of the campaign cycle, and that's something he's concerned about. In another, he sort of appeals to the voters' sense of the fiscal responsibility. At what point does this seem to be $20 million witch hunt? Again, that's his description of the cost and the nature of the investigation. Here again, he attacks those who are the top investigators working for Robert Mueller. 13 angry and heavily conflicted Democrats and two people who worked for Obama for 8 years. Now, here's the key phrase. Stop with an exclamation point. So the president is saying, stop the investigation. That is a sentiment that we know he has been anxious to see this wrapped up. Now he's getting more declarative and saying it needs to end. Still no indication from the White House that he would intervene to take action against the Justice Department and shut down the investigation, but he's certainly trying to play the emotions of many of his supporters who are feeling this way, and also giving us an insight into what he's thinking about on a beautiful Sunday afternoon where the president has not left the ground. He is still at the White House, so there's no call about it today. Alex, all right, Kelly O'Donnell at the White House. Thank you, Kelly, for that report. Joining me now, David Kirkpatrick, one of the reporters who wrote the latest Punk Hour story.
Presenting himself.
Oxygen. 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 Oxygen.
Thank you. She was taken to the doctor,
and that the doctor had gave him medication and that she would give it to him without his consent if necessary. She was saying like how he was losing his memory and how she felt like he would get violent. Billy Jack tells the detective that Melissa's description of Bill didn't really make sense to him.
We go work together. He would tell me things that happened 50 years ago, things that happened like 2 weeks before when I come up, so I didn't see none of that again.
But according to Billy, Melissa seemed genuinely upset and appeared to be telling the truth. We ended up leaving, still didn't feel real sure what was going on. And that, Billy claimed, is the last time he saw Melissa.
Based on what they told me, the suspicious things that his stepmother had told him had happened to his father, Billy Ray Napier, I felt that the search warrant would be proven in this case.
Thankfully, just moments after concluding their interview with Crystal and Billy Jack, investigators are notified their search warrant has been approved. They begin a formal search of the property, with Billy Jack and Crystal accompanying them.
Ray would go to the property. They wouldn't let us go up to the house, so we parked in my truck. I'm at the bottom of the property. As we walked into the kitchen, there was gasoline and hay bales sitting in the kitchen. That was the first one that we came into.
Even on a farm, these aren't the type of things you see lying around in the kitchen. It really looked like someone was trying to start a fire.
There was a tarp in the living room, and there was a hatchet.
But it's in the bedroom at the back of the house that police made their most shocking discovery.
We found a deceased body. There was so much decay that we were unsure whether it were a homicide, whether it was a suicide or death of natural causes.
They also couldn't immediately tell who the victim was because of the level of decomposition.
It was a terrible, gruesome scene. From that point, I called for our crime scene investigators who works out of our office, and they come down and conducted the crime scene investigation.
In order to determine the identity of their victim and the cause of death, police released the body to the county medical examiner.
So an autopsy can confirm the identity of a victim and the cause of death, but it's a process that could take some time.
As the coroner's team carts off the remains, CSI team combs the house for evidence.
Their job is to examine everything and determine what materials were involved in this crime.
There were tarps, hatchets, and things of that nature which would be used to cut up the body.
In my 10 years' experience as a news reporter, there are so many possibilities in this situation. An intruder could have entered the home, killed all three family members, and then planned to torch the entire house, but abandoned those plans. At this point, you can't rule out that the holes around the house could contain another body, or maybe multiple bodies. There's even the possibility that the victim is an unidentified third party, and that the Napiers are responsible for that death and are now on the run.
With so many possibilities to explore, investigators reach out to the medical examiner's office, hoping to narrow the focus of their investigation. The autopsy results provide the first real break in the case.
They went through the remains of Billy Ray Napier.
Dental records are a match for Bill Napier, as is the clothing that the deceased was wearing.
Not only has the medical examiner identified the body as that of Bill Napier, he's also determined the cause of his death.
They did a post-mortem and discovered he died by a bullet to the brain. Can't believe it was a .22.
We knew that he had been shot, but what we didn't have is who shot him. And so we needed answers.
Coming up, if Bill was shot to death in his own home, why would Melissa say he died in a car crash? Did she have something to do with Bill's death? Or could she and Savannah be in danger themselves?
Every indicator, there's something more to this case. I have to get into this case more. Something's going on.
It comes down to one simple thing. Police need to find Melissa and Savannah.
As investigators take a closer look at Bill and Melissa's marriage, dark secrets begin to unfold.
She started being dealt a lot, and then money problems started happening. There was some concern on his part, like what was going on.
Play my jam. Turn on light. Start washer.
The moment you realize you can't teach your old washer to do
it. As long as we keep you ahead of the curve with smart appliances like FlexWash and FlexStore by Samsung. Two
long reloads at the same time, you've got to start your phone.
Start
washing. All profits from the family store. Start this one. Shop a Memorial Day savings of $300 on select ends like kitchen sweep. You know, you've paid too much for glasses. Well, don't blame yourself. Just next time, go to America's Best, where two bears and a free sandwich are $69.95. You save on cover.
Yep. It's humid. I'm glad. Yeah. Turn the air on back on here. I'm not on the air anymore, so I just haven't gotten around to it. I forgot. There we go.
Thank you.
ready to respond at 20.
Times her, my little sister was gone. She was gone for months.